Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Monday, March 21st, 2016, and this is Apple's Let Us Loop You In media event day, which is why we're recording a little late, because we wanted to talk about what happened in the event as opposed to last-minute speculation about what might happen. But before we get into that, hey, we have a sponsor, and that sponsor is Bushel. And Bushel is just a fantastic mobile device management platform, which sounds a lot scarier than it really is. Basically, what it comes down to, not basically, really what it comes down to, is that Bushel is this really easy-to-use platform that lets you take all of your iOS devices and your Macs and manage the settings for everything all in one place. It makes it easy to make sure that all of your devices, like let's say if you're someone like me, where you have a couple Macs, three iPads, a couple iPhones, and a couple iPod Touches sitting around, making sure that the settings across all those devices are correct, it can be a little bit confusing at times. But with Bushel, I can do just like a big IT department would do, where they are managing all the devices, and I can push out my settings to everything. No problem. It's a beautiful thing. Where it really comes in handy for me is that I am the IT department for my parents. And you know how when parents think that they just know when it's time for them to make a change to their settings and then just can't figure out why everything's broken and then call you? I get those calls.
It goes something like this. Wah, 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 wah.
Yes, it's exactly like that. So when my dad calls and tells me that he can't check his email anymore and he didn't do anything, and I push his settings back out to him. I know. But I push his settings, including his email settings, back out to his iPhone for him. And I say, try it now. And he's like, hey, it works. Yeah.
Well, I didn't do anything. It's talk about role reversals, right?
I know. It's so weird how that happens. Anyhow, I guess what I'm saying is that Bushel is a great tool if you have a small organization where you need to manage a lot of devices and you don't have the money to drop into Apple's full mobile device management solution. It's also really great option if you have other people in your life who may not be quite as technically savvy as you are and need that gentle handholding, where you can do things like push your dad's email settings back out to his phone for him. It's wonderful. So the way this works is that you can sign up and use the service for free for up to three devices. And any device after that costs you $2 a month. So it's a really affordable solution. And for me, it has saved so many headaches, so many headaches. My dad should send these people a fruit basket, seriously. Anyhow, so what you want to do is go to their website, bushel.com. That's bushel.com/TDO. And sign up for your free account. Like I said, three devices for free, only $2 a device per month after that. And it's a wonderful system, amazingly easy to use, and they have incredible, easy-to-follow, step-by-step lists to get you through the initial setup and just get you up and running. It's fantastic. So Bushel, thank you for being our sponsor. Go check out their website, bushel.com/TDO. All right. Now, we have some stuff to talk about. The short version is Apple had their media event today, and at the media event, Tim Cook took a few minutes to say that Apple is not going to back down from protecting encryption and trying to avoid complying with the FBI's order to create a less secure version of iOS. We also got new Apple Watch bands. We got an update for Apple TV, tvOS software. iOS 9.3, new iPhone SE, new iPad Pro, not big size. Let's see, what else did we get?
9.3 care kit,
healthcare.
That's right, care kit.
Night shift true tone display. And new Apple TV stuff, including Siri controls, additional Siri controls.
Right. And as we are recording, watchOS 2.2 was released. So it's a busy morning.
Can I start?
Captain 10.11.4. Go ahead, Brian.
Yes, please do, Brian.
John had a good point. 11.4 did drop. We already have something up on that, I think.
Yes.
Can I start with what the heck the title of the event, Let Us Loop You In, had to do with the event? I mean, I don't think the term loop was mentioned even with the watch bands.
Melanie's loop black?
I don't think it had anything to do with any specific product. I think it was more along the lines of when you loop someone into what's going on.
Yeah, I call balderdash.
The last event in Town Hall and Infinite Loop.
Yeah, I call balderdash. Yeah, I don't like the name. I don't like the name of the event. I did like the iPad Air Pro Mini Nano Pseudo thing, except for the name. Can't stand it. I hate the fact that there are two iPad Pros, and to identify which one it is, you have to then add 12.9 inch or 9.7 inch at the end.
Oh, I think it's genius. I think it's genius.
Really? Okay, John, tell me why.
Well, I just finished writing an article which will go up soon, and the title is something like Apple's new 9.7 inch iPad should breathe new life into the product line.
And that's not a headline. That's a whole sentence. Anyhow, carry on.
It's a whole story. Well, there was the iPad Air 2 was the last of the old thinking. Thinner, lighter, kind of lame iOS, a bigger iPhone, and the iPhone could do things the iPad couldn't. So now we've got this thinking that started with the 12.9-inch iPad Pro. How should the iPad line properly evolve? How should it diverge from the phone? How should the sizes and the use profile of these two devices change? How should iOS 9 change to support it? Thinner and lighter, larger iPhone wasn't cutting it. Sales were declining. And I say that with love, you know, large iPhone. But that's really how some people were thinking about it.
No one was thinking that.
Yes. And it wasn't evolving very quickly. It wasn't keeping pace with the iPhone, where new iPhone-specific cool features were coming out all the time. And if you had an iPad, you know, you did some shopping, you did some browsing, you read some email. The technical development of it wasn't advancing rapidly.
You're totally projecting onto me how I used my iPad.
Upgrade. Well, I'm talking about the readers are telling me they didn't need to upgrade their iPad every year, not even every 2 years, maybe even not every 3 years. Okay, because the iPad just sat there on the coffee table and did its thing. So my perception of the iPad Air 2 line had to terminate. And we had to switch over to the iPad Pro mentality of, you know, the pencil and the True Tone display and the four speakers with a better volume and a great 4K camera and better productivity, ways to lure the PC Windows user who has a five-year-old PC over and get it on the track of being its own thing, being attractive in itself, useful, productive in itself as a new product. And that's why it had to be called the iPad Pro. And now we have a line of iPad Pros and pick the size you need. End of discussion.
I am with you. That is the start of where you were wrong. Cause I'm with you on everything you said, everything you said up until why we had to call it the iPad Pro. Is iPad brilliant. Air it's
obviously it, wouldn't cut it.
iPad Air Pro would be better. So this is the first time that I can think of when we've got a meaningful difference in sizes for an iOS device that are called the same thing. They're both called iPad Pro. And then you've got a parenthetical after that, 9.7 inch or 12.9 inch. And that is just... That it is Which iPad do you have? I've got the iPad Pro. Well, which one do you have? I am slightly apoplectic because I think this is absolutely stupid from a marketing standpoint and a usability standpoint. From a philosophical standpoint, John, I think you were so right. But they could have called it the iPad Air Pro. That would have been better than calling it iPad Pro 9.7 inch. They could have called it a new
Microsoft
name. They didn't
Windows
have
for
to
workplace business edition version 6 for home users with Ethernet.
We're not talking about Microsoft's bad naming nomenclature stuff. We're talking about Apple, who usually does this stuff pretty well. I mean, it's not like the iPhone SE came out and it was called the iPhone 6S, parenthetical 4 inch. Right. And it's the exact same hardware as the iPhone. As a matter of fact, the iPhone SE fits everything you just said for the iPhone 6S and iPhone 6S Plus, with the exception of but it has a new name, iPhone SE.
From what I've heard, the iPad Pro 12.9 inch sold very well. And I think that what's happening is that Apple wants to us to stop thinking about iPad Airs and wants us to start thinking about a product that sold very well in that one word Pro, even though some readers have lashed out against why is it particularly Pro for professional users, and then they made a list of Pro things that they do and stuff like that. But aside from that, the word Pro all by itself instantly marries it to this best-selling 12.9-inch iPad Pro, and it's all they need to do.
Except that the 12.9-inch Pro isn't the best-selling iPad. That would be the iPad Air. They said that during the media event.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's sold very well.
Yeah, I've got another idea, too.
Sales.
I've got another idea. You call the 12.9-inch iPad Pro the iPad Pro Plus, and you call the 9.7-inch device the iPad Pro.
Well, it's too late.
That makes more sense.
Now, because the iPad Pro is already too...
Well, it's not that they didn't know what they were going to be doing back in September.
So you want to call it the iPad Pro Mini?
No, I want it to be called something other than iPad Pro. iPad Air Pro would have been better. Calling the iPad Pro when it came out, the iPad Pro Plus would have been better. Calling it the iPad Super Awesome.
Well, they're targeting Windows users. They're targeting Surface users. Mm-hmm. They're targeting people who want to use their iPad for more robust productivity applications. So you don't want to have an Air in there because that's the old thinking.
All right. So I know we're not going to resolve this on the show today. And there's other devices to talk about. So I want to see how you guys fight about iPhone SE.
Hold on a second. I want to iterate one thing, John. Everything John said about the other stuff is just beautiful. It's just spot on, all about Apple's thinking on how to position this and how to move it forward and why that's important.
Thing. Yeah.
It's the naming stuff that we're, more or less disagreeing on and fun. But the rest of what you said was
brilliant, actually.
Was spot on. John, I will give you brilliant. I will happily give you brilliant.
Can I start on the iPhone SE?
Sure. Brian started with the iPad Pro Mini Ultra Light Edition. You get to start with iPhone SE.
I'm in a superposition of states on this. I'm both wildly enthusiastic about it and sort of bummed because it's, not the newest and latest and greatest big iPhone 6S Plus with all the goodies.
But it is all the goodies, just in a small package.
That's right. Well, that's one of the things that's cool about it. It has a lot of the technology of the iPhone 6S, a small 4-inch screen. And while people who, have moved forward with the iPhone 6 and the iPhone 6S or its bigger Plus series will probably not be too excited and probably yawn, I think this is going to sell really, really well. I think it's going to sell better than anybody expects, even though it's sort of downsizing the phone, because so many iPhone customers stuck with their smaller displays. But now you've got a small display for a 4-inch iPhone with the great camera and with live photos and with Apple Pay and with this Touch ID. And so everybody who has got an older iPhone with a 4-inch display, every one of them is going to go running to the Apple store and say, here, take it. I don't want it anymore. Give me an iPhone SE. but that's going to be sort of below the radar because, you know, it's not the latest and greatest big phone. So it's kind of a mixed feeling about it, but I think it's going to sell really well. Brian?
It's not going to outsell the successor. It may outsell the Success Plus. It's not going to outsell the larger form factors, but it is going to shore up Apple's entry line tremendously. This device is in large part aimed at the rest of the world, and it's also aimed at younger consumers. And that price point, $399. Makes it a lot more attractive, a lot more affordable to a lot of people. You know, it should do really well, but I don't have grandiose expectations to project on this device. I think this device is all about making sure that if anybody's going to cannibalize Apple, it's going to be Apple. This is about making the entire product line solid, and it gives them an easier and more direct path towards future iterations of the entire product line.
So what you're saying is that Apple wanted to make sure they had a proper gateway drug, so to speak, to get people into the iPhone line and keep them there.
Yeah, and this, I mean, you know, think about it. The Apple still sells the 5, right? Does Apple still sell the 5? I say that. Does Apple still sell the 5S?
If only we had a web browser available to us right now so someone could look that up.
I am looking that up. I believe the 5S is still being sold, or it was. It's certainly not now. Right now, you've got the 6S, the 6, and the SE on the site.
Okay, so as of this morning, the iPhone 5 is gone.
It seems like it, doesn't it? It does seem like it. So, I mean, this is a neater product line. It shores up Apple's entry level specs tremendously. It should do well.
You know, when I first started hearing rumors about this, and even as recently as last week, I think I was still resistant to Apple upgrading the 4-inch device. But in retrospect, I think I was mistaken. And I agree. I think this is actually going to sell really well. It's not going to kill sales for the 6S and 6S Plus, but I think it will definitely boost overall iPhone sales, and is probably a pretty smart move for Apple.
So you're trying overseas, China and India, the rose gold, they're all winning things.
So Jeff, your track record on Apple predictions is intact. Is that what I'm hearing?
Well, it certainly isn't tarnished very much.
Am I correct? This is like right after we did our write-ups and our coverage for the media event itself. I did not hear 3D Touch on the iPad Pro Mini Nano, right?
I did not hear anything about 3D Touch either, which does not surprise me, since the only devices we have right now that support it are the 6S or the 6, 6S, 6 Plus, 6S Plus. Well, no, it's only, man, too many devices, 6S and 6S Plus. There we go.
Right. So that'll probably probably come in the next generation. Other than that, I'm stoked about that. I just got to keep going back. I've been waiting for this iPad to come out for a long time. I'm stoked about it.
You're going to buy one, right? Because you have an older iPad Air.
But you're going to call yours the Air. You're going to call yours the iPad Air Pro, right?
I'm going
to the Brian Chaffin iPad Air Mini Air Pro with Ethernet.
Something along those lines, yeah.
Okay, so we are almost out of time. Real quick, I'm curious, do you guys see this as a media event that people are going to look at and think, wow, that was great? Or do you think the overall reaction is going to be disappointment or somewhere in between?
I think that the grousing and the rumbling has already started. I think that people are going to project what their own personal expectations are. So, for instance, people who were looking for any kind of a MacBook update are going to call this a complete waste of time. Personally, I'm delighted with it. I think that the Air is exciting. I think that the SE is an important addition to Apple's product line. Whether or not you personally want one for yourself, I'm looking at you, John Keat, Mr. Devil's Advocate, who has just been ranting and raving in a private chat about this stuff. But I think that CareKit was an important announcement. I think that the environmental stuff was important for Apple to announce from a marketing standpoint. And I am fascinated by the fact that Apple took the first 10 minutes to talk about Apple versus FBI and talk about the environment. What other company on the planet is going to do that?
I take an opposite view. I think the environment stuff was filler. I think it was thrown in there because they weren't ready to do anything with new MacBooks. And it kind of felt to me like they were burning cycles until they were ready to talk about the two remaining things they had to talk about. An iPhone that isn't going to appeal to everybody, isn't latest and greatest and sexy for the most technical users, and an iPad 9.7 inch, which, you know, a lot of people will see just as kind of like an Air 3, you know, yawn. So I would not rank it as one of the top half of the notable Apple events.
Well, I'm going to give you that, John, but I'm going to counter everything you just said with the reality that Apple rushed through every single little thing. The Apple Watch stuff was barely touched upon. The Apple TV stuff was barely touched upon. I think that they rushed through way too much other stuff for the environmental stuff to be just filler. I think that the environmental stuff was a very deliberate marketing message, and it was also a very deliberate effort to get Lisa Jackson up on stage.
I agree.
Corporate citizens, we take care of the environment, we generate our own energy, we take care of the planet, and we take care of our customers' security. Nice.
I accept your apology.
Yep. Also, keep in mind, there was no mention of OS X El Capitan, and 10.11.4 was released today with secure notes, the ability to import stuff from Evernote, There were other things in the El Capitan update that would have made it reasonable for Apple to talk about in the time that they spent talking about environmental stuff.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, so are you honestly capitulating, John?
Nope.
What?
Like I said, I'm in a superposition of states this morning. Deal with it.
I see. All right. Fair enough, brother.
All right.
Love you.
Well, on that meta note, we are out of time, so I'm going to wrap us up now. Brian, thank you for being here.
Absolutely, man. It was a fun discussion. Thanks, John.
It was a lot of fun. John, thank you for being here as well.
You're very welcome. And great discussion, Brian. Yes, indeed.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting a fight today, but hey, you know, I'm always along for the ride, so that was exciting. Bushel, thank you for being our sponsor. Everyone, go check them out. It makes managing all of your iOS devices and Macs so much easier. Bushel.com/TDO. First three devices are free, only $2 a month after that for extra devices. Totally worth it. It makes my life so much easier, and apparently my dad's life too. Listeners, thank you for joining us. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.